was supposed to be another preacher, but he got sick. So it's not the first time. I've been invited to preach in many occasions in different places, and they have to confess to me, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know, I'm calling you last minute. The preacher that I invited couldn't make it." So I'm used to, and I'm start thinking about that. Even my wife, maybe I wasn't the first choice too, but the Lord loves me, and that I know is a fact. I know it's true because he saved me. So go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. It's a joy always to be here. Pray for the Spanish church. As later on, we are going to have a baby dedication, a new family that start coming during the pandemic. And pray for the broadcastings that I do. I try to do it at least twice a week, but due to work, sometimes I can't. But there is a couple of persons that I'm praying for them to be safe. And some of them, different people got saved during the pandemic. So I'm very excited that their hearts are so tender that now they come to understand that we can die any minute now. We can get sick and not make it. I know a lot of people that pass away. And so pray for me as I try to minister to them. When they are so faithful to listen to the broadcasting. And that's very exciting because they come to the well that is a living water, which is that's the word of God. So here in the book of Ephesians, Apostle Paul wrote this, verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that I'm able to be in the second Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Thank you for these 25 years of faithfulness. It sounds easy, Lord, but you know the stress and the pressure that is to under shepherd a flock. It's different personalities, different situations. And as preachers and pastors, we always ask you, Lord, to bring more people. But as the people come, there is a different issues. But I thank you, Father, that you have been used, Pastor Matt, to being faithful and to stand strong. And we pray for another 25 years, Lord. So bless him, bless his family, bless every single one that is part of our Gospel Life Baptist Church. And help us, Father, to reach those that are lost, those that are living in darkness. And help us, Father, as a church to continue working in unity as we achieve the same goal, to go to heaven, Father, and to bring as much people as we can. So bless the preaching, Father, and we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. It's not easy being a pastor. I hear a story about a pastor, a new pastor that start coming to church. And as a pastor, sometimes you preach about things that people don't like. One of those is that, you know, as a Christian, now we should work for the Lord, do something. And he prepared a message, and the choir director, kind of like an answer back, he wrote a message about do something for the Lord. Let's do something for him. So the choir director next Sunday dedicated the song that "I Should Not Be Moved." You know, and the pastor got it. So the next week he preached about tithing. You know, let's reach the missionaries. Let's, you know, let's chip in and do something for the Lord. So the choir director dedicated that song, "Jesus Paid It All." The next Sunday he started talking, you know, as a Christian, we should not gossip. You know, that's not of God. So the next week the choir director chose "I Love to Tell the Story." Then the preacher got discouraged. He was new. He didn't feel like he belonged there. So he preached about, you know, "I think I'm going to quit. You know, I'm going to give my resignation." And the choir director chose the song for next week, "Why Not Tonight." So then the next week the preacher prepared a farewell sermon saying, you know, "I think the Lord brought me here and the Lord is taking me out. So thank you so much for everything. So that moment, the choir director chose, what a friend we have in Jesus. So my point is, it's not easy to be a preacher. It's not easy to be a pastor. And there is many times that I don't go upstairs to visit my parents because I will hear things that I don't want to hear because I don't want to have that kind of like that thing coming to me on Sunday. Because I like to preach the Word of God and don't, I don't know if you understand, to don't pinpoint people. And it's not easy to be the under-shepherd. So that's the reason being a pastor is a gift from God. That's the reason in Ephesians 4:11 at the end it says some pastors, but he begins at verse 11, some apostles, that's special messengers that we don't have anymore. Some prophets that was inspired preachers that we don't have them anymore. Don't matter what you hear around, come and see the greatest prophet. There is no prophets anymore. And some evangelists, you know, those that goes from church to church to minister. And it says at the end, and some pastors and teachers, a pastor has to be a teacher. It has to be a teacher because when we come to the Lord, we come with all this mess in our head that we were taught when we were little. And pray for me, I'm trying to preach on the book of Colossians about chapter 1, chapter 2, how they really, really worship angels. Like they were like so lean to worship angels. That's the reason Paul told them, you know, Jesus is everything. He's the final authority. And when we come to Jesus, we come with all these different things. He's like a flower with different thorns. And the pastor has to be a teacher to teach patiently. Now, I told you already, I've been saved for 16 years, and I see preachers come and go. I see preachers fall into sin, and they are no longer preaching anymore. They are doing something else, shouldn't be doing, because the Lord... If the Lord called you to be a preacher, the Lord will empower you. But sin is there, and that's the reason 25 years sounds easy, but it's by the grace of God that pastors are still standing. And last year, I went to a Spanish conference, and one of the speakers, he preached to us, and he told us, I just came back from a graduation ceremony, and the preacher that preached before me told the kids there, the teens that graduate, he said, you know, now you're going to have it easy because all you are going to be pastors and you're going to have a retirement plan, 4K, or I don't know how you call it, 20K. You're going to have a health insurance. You're going to have it better than us. So he got kind of like upset about it. And at the end of the day, he said, preacher, can I talk to you? He said, yes, of course. You know, you cannot promise that to them. You don't know where the Lord is going to call them. And what you are kind of like promise them something that they will get out of a regular career. You know, being a pastor, being a preacher, nothing is guaranteed. You know, you depend on the Lord. And the Lord will help you and guide you, but the Lord is not gonna give you a retirement plan unless you go to a big church, which you know is possible. But being a pastor, we have to be a pastor, a preacher for the right reasons, not for the wrong reasons. Like me, for example, I wasn't good at math, I wasn't good at many things. So for me to decide, you know, I wanna be a pastor, you know. That way it's easy for me, you know, I can just preach and that's it. You know, that's the wrong reason. So when the Lord called you to preach, to be a pastor, he chose you. I mean, it's something that you cannot deny it. Jeremiah tried to stop preaching, but he has this fire inside of him. And as a preacher, you know, you will feel this fire as well deep inside of you when there is a situation. And we know Pastor Matt started coming to this church and he never... thought he was going to be a pastor. In fact, I don't think he even thought that before, a month before he became a pastor, Because that wasn't his goal. His goal was serving the Lord, and is for the right reasons. Now, we got to be very careful, and I'm saying this because I used to go to a different denomination where you can measure the success of the preacher by the size of the building, by the many people that show up, by the finances, and by all his education. And this preacher got everything. I mean, we are talking about 150 persons per service in the morning, and the evening at least 80 persons. And when we start going there, I thought, you know, this must be of God. All these people, I mean, cannot be wrong. But we were wrong, because they were promised things that they are not in the Bible. And that's the reason many churches that preach sound gospel, you don't see many people. You see people, a lot of people, when there is the wrong reasons that people show up. And I remember one of the preachings that day was like, you know, if you are poor, it's because you are now obeying God, you know, because God wants you to be rich. And I'm like, where in the Bible say that? So, you know, we have to measure the faithfulness of the preachers by the sound doctrine. The sound doctrine is not easy, especially to me, to preach about against purgatory or the rosary or saints and all this idol worship, because I'm Mexican. I'm coming from that background. And if you preach against that, they are taking it like you are, you know, betraying them. So I know here in our church, we stand strong on what we believe. So for 25 years of Pastor Matt doing that, go with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I mean, we all want our kids to become pastors. We all do. I mean, but it's up to the Lord to call them, to choose them. And it's a blessing. I'm thinking about Pastor Dominic Cuso and his dad. So that will be a dream come true to see your kid become a pastor. But that's up to the Lord. And I see many things in these 16 years that I've been saved. And a lot of preachers falling into sin or leaving the flock or for many reasons. And I start thinking maybe they weren't called by God. Maybe it was the wrong reason. So this is Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait in our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that shew mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love in honor, preparing one another. That's the main purpose of the preacher, to have us as a family. I have three kids. They are different, the three of them. And sometimes I have to step in, hey, you know, we are family. We don't do that. We are family. For example, last time, Erin got so mad with Alicia and Adrian, so she said, you know, I'm going to order Uber Eats with Burger King, and I'm going to buy them. I'm not going to get them because they didn't open the door for me. So at the end of the day, we told Erin, listen, we don't do that here, you know. She said, but I was upset, and I'm sorry. I said, okay, but, you know, we don't do that here. Here, everybody eats Burger King, or nobody eats Burger King. So the next day, she felt bad, and she bought their brother and sister Burger King. So as a pastor, sometimes we have to do that. You know, hey, listen, you know, for the sake of our peace, we don't do that here. Because that's the main purpose of a pastor, to mentor, to under-shepherd, and to teach us. And believe me, it's not easy. So 25 years is sounds easy, believe me. Sounds easy, but it's not. Go with me to the 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to have to grab this water. I'm so thirsty. Thank you. Must be all the conchas that I ate this morning. So last Tuesday, I received a message saying my mom had a car accident, and I saw it the next morning at 5 o'clock. So I wrote back, "Oh, I'm sorry about your mom. Is she okay? Is the accident was here in Mexico or here?" So I received the message back at 12 p.m. Pray for my mom. I'm like, "Yeah, but how she's doing?" She said, "Well, I'm his child. My mom is in the hospital. So I'm using her account." And I'm like, "You know, give me your mom's phone number." So I call her, "How you doing?" "I'm doing okay." I say, "You know, I thought you wrote me." "No, my son wrote you because he told me, you know, I'm going to text pastor because he's closer to God." So that really brings me a lot of conviction that people see us as closer to God. Believe me, we are not. If you are saved, you are close to God too. But look what Peter says in chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God is in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom he be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." We have a big burden as a pastors, because people will see us as a close to God. Believe me, there is times that I don't feel close to God. Believe me, when I come behind the pulpit to preach for depression or I'm worried about many things, or the work take all my strength. But people see us like that. So pray for Pastor Matt, pray for me, pray for all those that stand behind the pulpit, that we might fulfill the role that we were called. That really, when she told me that, I shared a couple of tears, like, "Oh my soul, God, please help me, that I can fulfill the calling that you gave me." Because people come to me for many things. And I wanna be honest with you. One day I broke down in my workplace when they told me that somebody that we were praying for that got sick with COVID died. And I broke down. My boss came and said, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay." Sometimes as a pastor, you hear many things and you just put everything inside of you, worries, or you are concerned about something. As you know, Pastor Matt is a human being. You see what happened to his hands, his fingers. We are weak, I have to be honest with you. We are weak, but when we come behind the pulpit, you see us smiling. But you don't know what we have inside of us, all the worries that we have, all the burdens. Go with me to the book of, I have it right here. I think it's Romans chapter 12. Yes, chapter 12. "I spent a week, at least 4 hours, talking on the phone with church members. And many times they don't seek an advice, they don't seek a counsel. What they seek is somebody to listen to them. And when they call me, I know it's going to be an hour long. So what I do, I prepare myself, I finish what I was doing, and then I call them back. Many, many times, especially senior saints, all they want is for you to hear them. And they enjoy telling them the stories. You know, back in Cuba or back in my country, back in this, you know. And you know, I make them questions like, "When did you meet your husband?" You know, I enjoy those stories. Here in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." As a pastor, we have to be so tender. I know many of you know I'm a cat lover. I'm an animal lover. I love animals. But let's say I don't, and somebody called me and is crying that they lost their, for example, their dog. You know, I have to. But you know, I don't need to make fun of them, you know, because I like to weep with them and laugh with them, and we have to be under one heart. And as a pastor, sometimes there is so silly things that you might think, you know, just hang up. We can't, you know, because if it's important for you, it's important for us as well. And like I say, it's not easy. It's not easy. Many years ago in North Carolina during a Spanish Bible conference, an old preacher, I think he was about 80, he used to minister in Brooklyn for many years. He gave a special class for preachers. And he said, are all of you pastors? And we say, yes, okay. I got nothing else to say. You know, I'm tired. But this is what I'm going to say. As a pastor, you have to be careful of 3 F. Fame, finances, and females. Say, fame, you might think you are the God's gift to the world. Oh, my soul, how can this church be without me? You know, they're not going to make it. No, you are not, brother. You know, there is always behind you, somebody behind you, more prepared and more kind than you. So be careful that fame do not go to your head. Finances. He said that he told us that he knew a preacher that people just give him cash. I mean, envelopes of cash that went to his head. So instead of putting it into God's word, he was putting it for his retirement. And he got cut, and I don't know what it was happening during that time. I don't know how that ended up. But his reputation and his testimony was lost. And he said, be careful of females. You know, it will be some ladies that are single or are not happy in their marriage. Be careful. You must, maybe you are not Antonio Banderas. He told us that. But they will see you, you know, as a leader. And if you are not careful, you might fall. And brothers and sisters, I saw that firsthand with somebody that I know. With somebody that I used to go every year to their conference. He is no longer in the ministry because he fell on the scene. And fame, finances, and females. Something we got to be very, very careful as a preachers. As a preachers, sometimes you are going to have to bring some news to people. And as a preacher, as a pastor, one day I decide to call somebody. And they stop coming to church, but I used to call them once in a while. So I call them to ask them something. And then the lady, the wife told me, please, don't tell me that somebody from my family passed away. I'm like, no, why should I call you to tell you that? Because you are the pastor, and maybe my family don't want to tell me that somebody passed away, and that's the reason you are calling me. I'm like, no. No. Sometimes you will have these burdens on you. Can you tell this? Can you tell my family member this and that? So the story about this preacher, and maybe you hear this story before. Church member have a previous heart attack. How you call it? A mini heart attack. But his heart condition was bad. So all of a sudden, he received an inheritance of $1 million. So the family members couldn't go and tell him, hey, listen, you know, you just got $1 million under your bank account. So they told the preacher. So the preacher went there and said, hey, church member, how you doing? I'm okay. I have a question. What will you do if somebody inherits you $1 million? I will give $500,000 to the church, and then the preacher passed away. He had a heart attack. My point is that sometimes you guys rely on us, and we relied on Pastor Matt. For 25 years, it's like, believe me, it sounds easy, but it's not. So we wish you, Pastor Matt, more years, that the Lord will continue using you. So let's go back and finish in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And let's read from verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carry about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, by speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which he is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which